others which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, right off the bat, amen, Peter was written to a church that was under persecution, church that was scattered, a church that had to endure many trials, and often they had to be encouraged. And Peter is speaking to these local leaders, and he's encouraging them, and he says, again, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. And it's interesting that Peter, who was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't say who I am as an apostle. Even though he was, it wouldn't have been robbery, but he was also an elder. And he was saying, basically, I'm the same as you. Amen. Who am also an elder, a minister of the gospel of Christ. Amen. I understand your labor. I understand what you're going through. I understand the task, the joys, the pain of ministry. I'm right there with you. Amen. He didn't try to usurp his authority, but he let them know, listen, I'm an elder just as you are. And he says, and not only that, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He tells them in verse 2, he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof. Right away he says, listen, continue to feed the flock of God, which is among you. Now you may say, well, Pastor, this lesson seems to be directed towards leaders, and it is, but it's also to the layman. All of us, when we've been called in, amen, as Christ's disciples, we are all leaders. We all have a message to carry. We all have a duty and a responsibility to be disciples and ministers of Christ. Some may not be from the platform of a pulpit, or standing up before many people all at once. But if you are a disciple of Christ, you have a duty, you have an assignment, you have a job, amen, to be ministers of Jesus Christ. And if God gives you the opportunity to minister to the life of someone, whether it's one or whether it's a thousand, whoever God puts before you, be faithful to that. Amen. Knowing that you have what they need, the bread of heaven, the bread of life. So he says to them, feed the flock of God. And of course, we know he's not talking about natural food. Amen. Amen. But he's talking about spiritual food. Job said, Lord, thy word is more important than my necessary food, than the natural food that I eat. We know it's important, but in contrast, amen, are eternally, amen, the things and the word of God are much more weightier than that of the natural sustenance. Amen. So he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. So he's telling them to continue to feed with good doctrine. Just don't feed them anything, but feed them. That should have been a given. They should know that. Amen. Don't just give them junk food. Don't just give them unbalanced meals, but give them the word of truth. The word of God, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. So we have a duty, as they had a duty, to feed the flock of God. Amen. And especially those who are in assignments as far as leadership in the church. Amen. To much is given, much is required. Amen. We're all, amen, disciples of Christ. But if you want to be a leader, as a minister, as any office, amen, you need to understand, amen, that you are going to be held accountable. So we have to understand that we don't take positions, amen, just to be important. We don't seek positions just so people can look at us and you know, do all of that stuff. Amen. You've got the wrong idea. If you are seeking position just to be head and shoulders above the rest, you've missed the point. To be a leader, amen, amen, is to be a servant. Jesus said to his disciples, he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant. They were arguing about who was the greatest. Jesus said, you're missing the point. Amen. If you want to be great, learn to serve. If you want to be used by God, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he will lift you up and he will elevate you. But the way up is down on your knees. The way up is to humble yourself, not only to God, but before your brethren, to serve one another. That's what we're called to. Amen. We're not called to walk around with our chests out and say, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop, I'm this or I'm that, or I'm an evangelist, or I'm a prophet. Glory to God. Thank God for your gifting. Thank God for how he uses you. Amen. But you are a servant to edify, to train, to feed the flock of God. And we, amen, have to recognize that all glory and all honor and all praise belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not I, but it's Christ in me, in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So we don't lift up ourselves. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. As I often say, amen, to test one of the tests of any doctrine, amen, do they preach Christ and him crucified? Or are they preaching themselves? Are they preaching their accolades? Are they preaching their achievements? And they have their place. Give honor to where honor's due. They have their place. But you know what? All of that means nothing compared to Christ. Amen. You know, you think about the life of Paul. Amen. All that he was in the things that he accomplished, the schoolings, the pedigree, everything that he achieved, amen, in ministry and teaching of the law and so being a Pharisee and so on and on and on. But yet he counted that all loss that he might win Christ. In other words, with all of my accolades, with all of my degrees, with all the things that I've achieved, amen, without Christ, it means nothing. Now, God can take those things and take those achievements and take the things that you've done and use them for his glory. But apart from Christ, amen, only what you do for Christ will last. You can build a house on a faulty foundation, and I don't care how beautiful or magnificent the structure of the house may be, if it's on a faulty foundation, I don't care how much you've invested in it. I don't care the best furniture, the best equipment, the best lighting, on and on and on. But unless it's on a solid foundation, it's unstable. Amen. It's destined to shift with any movement, with any storm, with any calamity. It will be a house of cards destined to fall. Amen. That speaks to our own personal life. Unless our life is built on Jesus Christ, the sure foundation, the cornerstone. He is that foundation. He is that rock. And unless what we do for Christ, amen, it's shifting, it's unstable, and it's destined to fall. Unfortunately, people go through their whole lives achieving massive wealth. And money's not bad. Amen. It's the love of money. Achieving great things. But to get to the end of their life, and then realize it was all vanity. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what can a man or woman give in exchange for your soul? After all, when we check out of here, they're just going to be dividing our stuff up. Can I be real? Amen. Y'all know about situations. Amen. Some folk might even get in disagreements over your stuff. People be fighting. I'm getting the car, I'm getting the computer, I'm getting the suits. And this loving family who was weeping and grieving at the funeral, now it had everybody's neck talking about it's mine. Vanity. So none of this in the natural, amen. Don't put your, you know, the world has a way of measuring success, amen. You know, what you attain, how much you get here, how many cars, how many houses, how, you know, and then they determine whether you're successful or not. But I want to tell you, the true secret of success is first knowing Christ. That you're blessed, whether you have the houses and cars, and we want you to be blessed. We want you to have nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. As long as they are not your God. As long as they don't become idols in your life, which distract you from the giving God the worship that he's due. Amen. It's nothing wrong with being blessed. I'm not preaching against that. Amen. But we've got to understand, amen, that Jesus means everything. Amen. And guess what? If you lost everything in the natural, would you still worship him? See, that's a test. If you lost the house, would you still come to church? If you lost the car, would you still believe God? If they laid you off from the job, would you still be saying, God, I trust you? See, many times, amen, we say with our mouths, amen, and we preach with our lips, amen. But when testing time comes, and I'm here to let you know, every one of us in this room have been or will be tested. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody took your parking space. I'm not talking about, you know, they got the last loaf of bread. Lord, you're testing. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that many of us will go through serious tests, trials in life, trials in your family, trials in your marriage. You might have had a marriage that fell. Trials with your children. You trained them up. You taught them. You did everything you were supposed to do. And they still. Are you going to still say, I believe God? Amen. You were believing God to retire from that job. And they shut down. You had 401k. You had stock, portfolio. You had all kind of things lined up. You just knew, amen, it's just a man. And all of a sudden they said, don't come to work. What about my retirement? Oh, we're in bankruptcy. What about? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to still believe God? So through the test, and God is faithful, that even through those things, you know what? Job said, though you slay me, yet will I still trust you. That's when you know your faith, amen, has been proven. God allows the trying of your faith to come into action. Amen. The trying of your faith, what? Worketh patience. But let patience, allow patience, go along with God's program. Because even though it's uncomfortable for you right now, and even though in our limited view and understanding, and sometimes we can't see like God sees. We only see one direction. We see tunnel vision. We know what we want, when we want it. And anything out of that is a trial and a test. But we've got to trust God through the trials, amen? So getting back to the text here, amen, talking about leaders, amen, talking about those who are going to be a witness for Christ, amen, you got to understand that there's a responsibility. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, he tells them, taking oversight thereof, taking the responsibility, taking the care and the nurture, amen, and being responsible, looking out for the souls of those that are before you. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Whatever you do, whether it's on the pulpit or whether it's in the pews, amen, do what you do because you love Christ. Amen. Do what you do because you love your brethren. Not with a manipulation. Not with a, okay, what you going to do for me? That's not love. If you give, amen, amen. It's more blessed to give than receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving, but don't do it expecting it. Do what you do because you have a heart to bless others. Do what you do because you care about the brethren. Do what you do because you simply love your brothers and sisters in Christ and you want to bless them. Amen. Not looking for anything back. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. Not looking for, because my motive was because I simply love you. But in today's time, amen, everything is, well, remember what I did for you? Well, if I do this for you, you do this for me. Or remember that money I gave you? You're supposed to say, no, you're missing the point. You're short-circuiting your own blessing. So I give to you, number one, because I see a need. I give to you because I want to be a blessing. And guess what? I don't have to broadcast it for everybody to see or hear. And if they find out, they find out. But I'm not giving. Hey, look, I'm giving to Pastor Marion $300,000. I just want y'all to know that. You know, you don't need to do that, because what God seeth in secret, he'll reward openly. And you know what? And if you gave it, whether it's $300 or $330, you know what? God is going to bless you, because he sees that your heart, that you're motivated by love, not by greed. Not by manipulation, amen? Not by trickery, not by scam, amen? And unfortunately, these things happen in the church. Let's just be real. This happens in ministry. But this is why, amen, the word we have to, amen, expose every unrighteous work of darkness. Let the word of God be true and every man a lie. Amen. We've got to preach the whole word. So he says, amen. It said, listen, not by constraint, but willingly, not but filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, willing and ready to serve, willing and ready, amen, to yield, to pour out of yourself. And you know what? When you do that, God will always take care of you. God will always reward you. So they didn't say thank you, but you did it because you cared. You did it because you love the brethren. Amen. And God sees that. And then God's favor is upon you. Amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Listen, you need to know this. Amen. That you know what to expect from leadership. Leadership is not called to be a dictator. Leadership is not called to be some militant person who is just there to bark out orders and jump and say, because they say, listen, a true leader who understands, amen, that they're served. Yes, they're in position that God has placed them. And yes, they're due the honor and respect. But nevertheless, amen, they're not there, amen, to rough you up and treat you any kind of way. Likewise, you wouldn't want anybody to treat you any kind of way. You wouldn't want anybody to talk any kind of way to you. You wouldn't want anybody to be rough and abrasive to you. You'd get offended. Let me tell you what sister did, how she said it. You wouldn't want that. So why would you do that to somebody else? These are basic things, but these are some of the things that we're failing in ministry. We're failing. Listen, I expect that out on the street. I expect that on the jobs. I expect that in my school. But when I come into the house of fellowship, I expect, amen, to be in an atmosphere where there is love, genuine love, not the superficial stuff, where people generally care for one another, amen, when we can encourage, edify, strengthen, and pour into each other's life. Amen? And guess what? None of us here are perfect. That's the beautiful thing about it. Because if you were looking for, first of all, if you're looking for a perfect church, good luck. If you're looking for a church that does everything right, let me know. Maybe I'll go sometime and get somebody else up to speak. Amen. But from the years I've been around, amen, I haven't found one. And you know why? Because there are people there. It's because people are there. Now, if you don't mind preaching to the crickets and the gnats, then you might have a chance of having a peaceful, you know, but anytime you add people to the equation, we're different. We have different mindsets. We have different ideas. We think different. Amen. And so sometimes just to get us to agree, sometimes is a task. It's a chore to get folk just to over something. I mean, do it over something simple. Okay, we're going to have dinner tonight. Let's see. What is the menu? It should be a simple task, but not because anybody's, I'm not saying that they're bad people or wrong people, but I'm just trying to show you the nature of people. You know, we are just peculiar people. Maybe that's what the word meant, peculiar people. Amen. Amen. So, but that's just, you know, part of ministry. That's just part of church. Amen. We sometimes, you know, we go through that stuff. So, but we are, as leaders and as brothers and sisters, but especially leaders, we ought to be examples to the flock. That's why leadership is very important. When you are placed in a position of leadership, you have to understand, amen, that there are those, especially babes, who are watching you, who look to you, and they say, you know what, Minister Dominique, did you see what he was doing? Did you see he was on the corner? He was cussing like a sailor. And the young people look and they say, that's Minister Dominique? So what message did he just send to them? It's going to be harder for them to receive him when he gets up talking about, you know, we ought to be examples and we ought to live right. And in the back of their mind, that's all they're hearing is what we saw, what we heard him do. So to win a brother or sister that's been offended is a very difficult thing. Once offense have gone forth, amen, it's a difficult thing. This, I'm just dealing with nature of people. It's a difficult thing to win them back. And it really, amen, it takes us to really obey the word of God and to be mature, amen, to understand, amen, that love covers a multitude of sins. But if you ain't there, excuse me, if you don't know what it means, amen, to love, it's going to be a struggle. And let's be honest, sometimes it's a struggle for some of us that's been walking with Christ. Let's just be real. You know, sometimes it's a struggle, amen, when you know people have lied on you, when you know people have backstabbed you, when you know people are running you down, and to talk about to love them, who despitefully use you, who persecute you, who say all manner of evil against you, you mean love that person? It's easy to love the lovable person, the quiet person, the nice person, the temperate person. They're easy to love. That's not who he really called you to love. It's just like with freedom of speech. Amen. I hear it said, freedom of speech really doesn't need to be, popular speech doesn't need to really need to be protected because it's the current speech. Unpopular speech is what needs to be protected. Because when you're saying what people agree with, and is the norm of the time, you don't get resistance. But I should be able to speak and it not be popular, and then I shouldn't be attacked for having that freedom of speech. So likewise, amen, God is saying, listen, you got to love, amen, it's easy to love the person who does good. It's easy to love those who are within, but can you love those? We say, oh boy, here they come. Hold your breath. Bite your lip. You know, you first of all, you can't do it unless you've had an encounter with Christ to begin with. You cannot display or show that kind of love if you have not been introduced to that love through Jesus Christ. Because in and of ourselves, we don't have the ability. I know I don't. We don't have the capacity. I know I don't. Except through the Spirit of Christ. That's on this inside of me, which causes me, amen, to love my brothers and sisters. And there are sometimes, yes, you got to pray. There's sometimes, Lord, give me strength. Lord, help me with it. But you can do it because of who's in you. Amen. Greater is he, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Than the spirit of the enemy through the spirit of the evil one that's in the world and operating through people that are in the world. I and you can overcome any obstacle because of Christ that's on the inside of me. That's what the Bible said. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not only to be witnesses throughout the earth, but to live a godly life. Amen. Amen? You need that power. Because without that power, you're going to do something foolish. Without that power, sometimes, you know, and we need to listen when God is saying, be quiet. Some of us are so self-willed, we can't bridle our tongue. Now, what is that? What does the scripture say? If a man bridleth not his tongue, what? His religion's in vain. So if we say that we have the Spirit of Christ and the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, which is, help me out, love, peace, help me out. Meekness, give me some more. Long-suffering, what? Joy, self-discipline, control. All of those things are fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's evident that the Spirit of Christ is inside of you. Amen? So there should be some outward manifestation of what's happening on the inside. It's only a matter of time. Amen. They said, if we don't take care of these physical bodies, amen, you know, sometimes it's only a matter of time that what's going on the inside is going to show up and manifest on the outside. You can dress it up. You can cover it up for a while. But when it starts coming through your pores, when it begins to show through the bags under your eyes, when you begin to feel it, then you know what? It's beginning to manifest. But here's the key. It was in there a long time ago. So that's why we have to, amen, eat the proper food that God, through his word, amen, has prescribed for us. Because we can be healthy, we can be whole, and we can be mature Christians. Amen. Without, you wouldn't, how many people missed the last two meals? I want to see some hands. How many people missed the last two meals? Raise your hand up. I'm talking about, maybe the book go three. Okay, how many missed your last three meals? Can I see some hands? No, I didn't think so. Now, if you haven't missed a natural meal like that, amen, why would you deprive yourself of a spiritual meal? If with missing natural meals, you know how we can get grumpy, we can get irritable, our stomach is growling. I mean, unless you're on a fast, amen, I understand that. But I'm just speaking in normal times, amen. You know you like that Coke, and you can't get a Coke, even though they say don't drink the soda. But it's something about that, you know, I got a confession. I must confess. It's confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And maybe this is my healing today. I'm confessing to you guys. I've been, Deacon Jackson, I've been trying to cut back on the sodas. I've been trying to do the right thing, you know, and realize, you know, you got to watch your diet. But let me tell you, when you go into these restaurants, when you go into these stores, everything that they have is not good for you. Most of the stuff, 90% of the stuff, the chips, the pretzels, the candy bars, and they strategically put it all in eye view. That soon as you come into the store, the first thing, they done studies on this stuff, where to strategically place things to increase sales. They don't care if it's good or bad for you. They want to make a profit. They want to sell a product. Snickers bar. The jumbo one at that. You know, big Lay's potato chips, you know, with the ripples on it. You know, nice and fresh. You can taste them soon as you come in and look at it. See, they programmed us. You can look at some food. Can I get a witness? You can look at some food and you can taste it. Am I the only one? They have done a job on us. Remember an experiment with Pavlov and the dogs to ring the bell and they start the salivating? Amen. Well, I hate to say it. They've done some of the same stuff to us. They're ringing the bell through commercials. When we go into the stores, they're ringing the bells. And I've caught myself doing, I've seen a commercial with the product. And when I went to the store, I'm looking for that. Now, don't forget there are several others that may be just as good or me, but it's something about those Pringles. I just saw the man with the mustache. Amen. And I can identify with that can of Pringles. Is it Pringles, the can? Yeah. And then that's Lay's. You just can't have one of them. It could be Pringles, too. All of them. Pringles? Just can't stop. See, y'all, you just let me know I'm not by myself. Y'all got issues too. So don't look at me like I'm the only one with a food addiction. We got some food addicts in here. Now, some of y'all can hide it better than others. But there's something that I'm learning too. As you get older, your metabolism changes. You know, I had to hold my breath this morning when I put my pants on. Amen. I didn't put my belt on because I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I don't want my stomach to stick out. So I'm going to wear my shirt on the outside. Okay. See, a few years ago, I'd put my belt on. I tucked my shirt down in there because I always like having a belt. But now there's a trend I'm noticing. I'm wearing my shirt on the outside to get rid of that hump. Because when you put the belt on, it just simply magnifies what's there. So you think it's a fashion statement. No, it's strategic. Let's tell the truth. Some of us go to the beach. Why do guys keep their shirts on? Hello? Can I get any witnesses? Deacon Tony, can I get a witness? Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to say your name. But you're not by yourself. You know what? Because we realize that we're not 20 anymore. And some of us, you know, we don't have those abs. We don't have six packs. We got one pack. Amen. One big pack. Amen. And then we try to tell ourselves it's still sexy. Amen. Man said one time, he said, man, that person got a lot of fat on the side. I said, those are love handles. That's in. But getting back, amen. So we see here, now think about this. If that's in the natural, how much more in the spiritual, through a ruthless enemy, will he try to exploit us and deceive us? That's why the Bible says, listen, beware. In the last days, there are going to be seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. A seducing spirit is a spirit that comes in camouflage. A seducing spirit is one that blends in. A seducing spirit is the one who tells you what you want to hear. Don't allow flattery to corrupt you. It's okay, amen. But the devil is a great flatterer. Will whisper what you want to hear and will lead you into false pride and ultimately with the goal to lead you in destruction. We've got to be willing to identify the problem. We've got to be willing to identify our shortcoming. We've got to be willing to deal with it, identify it, and let's move on from it. Amen? Let's not play with it. Let's not candy coat it, sugar coat it, adulterate it. Let's see it for what it is. I have a struggle with Lay's potato chips. And the doctor said my cholesterol is high. And unless I stop this habit, it's not good for me. Amen. So it's so important. Listen to this. And not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now listen to this. Here's the reward. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, which is Jesus Christ, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Sometimes in this path, amen, you may feel like you're alone. You may feel like, am I making a difference? Is what I'm doing changing the lives of people? But you know what? If you even say, Lord, there was one person that benefited success. And God says, because of your faithfulness, because of your labor of love, because you did it out of a heart of love, God says, when I appear, my reward is with me, and I'm going to give my reward to all of those who have served me and humbled themselves before me. Quickly, almost done, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Amen? Our younger people, not only in age, but sometimes even in faith. Amen. We've got to recognize, amen, the wisdom. We've got to recognize that there are others who have been on this journey for a long time. They have something valuable to say. They can input and they can make a difference. Amen? Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Not only ought we to give special recognition and honor, but then he goes on and says, listen, likewise, you younger, submit to yourselves unto the elder. Yea, here it is, all of you be subject to what? One another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth more grace unto the humble. Mother Maisie, amen, I ought to give her a special recognition. She's an older saint. Amen? And I ought to respect her for that. And I ought to give her special consideration. But she too, likewise, just because I'm not as old as she is, or you are, she is not off the hook for showing you respect. Amen? And I'm just using you for an example, Mother. You know, we all have to learn to submit to one another. And this, and you know what? And that's when, now this, you know, I'm not shocked, but this is a message. When we have this type of spirit in the church of true love, true humility, true servant, this would fosters a growing and thriving church. And it's not always equated in numbers. And we want churches to grow. We want the numbers to increase. But foremost, amen, we want to minister quality. We want to pour in good, wholesome food. All we can do is plant and water. What does God do? He gives the increase. So we've got to be on our job. Now, some of the problem is maybe we're not watering. And maybe we're not planting. And yet we're expecting God to bring the increase. God is saying, you got to follow my rule. When was the last time you planted in the lives of someone else? When is the last time you watered? When is the last time you went on the street witnessing? When is the last time you called somebody? When is the last time you followed up on a brother and sister? We have a duty to do those first two things. Now, after we do that, it's off of us. Then it's in God's hands. Same with the natural, so it is with the spiritual. You put a seed in the earth, you cover it up, you water it, your job is done. It's up to nature to bring forth that seed that will produce that plant. Amen?
Amen.
So we plant. Someone else may water. We water. But you know what? It's God that does the increase. So we got to get back to that. That's another message right there. Amen? So we got to get back to that. Amen?
Amen?
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that she may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all your care. That's what mother did. Casting all your care upon him. What does it mean to cast? What does that mean? To turn it over. To what? Throw it down. But many of us, amen, we're wondering why we're still burdened, because you haven't followed the scripture. To cast it down means you have to do something in faith. Because even though this stuff is right in front of you, you say, how can I? Well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what bills are waiting for me. You don't know what's going on my job, my home, my ministry. You don't know. No, it doesn't matter. He said, cast it down. Casting all your care upon him. So by faith, saying, Lord, I'm going to give this problem, this situation, this issue, Lord, by faith, I'm going to lay it at your feet. Bible says in Psalms, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what sustain you. And he will never allow the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Give it forth. Lay it down. And you know what? It's an act of faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because everything that we do has to be rooted in God is saying, I can't do nothing unless you got faith. So you got to have faith to believe. Even though your natural eyes are telling you something completely different, you've got to have faith on what my word says. You've got to have faith in what I've declared. And you've got to trust me no matter how it looks in the natural.
Amen.
The Bible says, for we walk by and not by. So I can't live my life as a Christian walking and experiencing life through the natural man and using that as my feeler, as my compass. I've got to walk by a different measure, and that is a measure of the Spirit of God operated through faith in my life. I can't speak in agreement even though I see it in the natural, but I'm not going to agree with what I see. This is when they're going to call you crazy. This is when you're going to be unstable. What do you mean you don't see that foreclosure notice? What do you mean you don't see that layoff? No, you don't understand. I know it's there, but guess what? I'm calling those things as God calleth those things that are not as though they were. I'm speaking life to my situation. I choose life over death. I choose victory over defeat. I choose to bless God no matter how it looks. I will declare what God has already, listen, it's off of us. Remember, we cast it to him. So all we're doing is repeating what God said in his word. We're like standing behind a big brother that's come to fight for you. Amen. I'm just doing what he told me to do. I'm just trusting his word. I'm just leaning not to my own understanding. The Bible said, in all your ways acknowledge me, saith the Lord, and I will direct your path. So I'm just doing what my father said do. I'm just doing what my Lord said do. Even though I don't understand it, it doesn't matter. Even though I can't see it with my natural eye, it doesn't matter. I'm going to believe what God has said, and his word shall not return void, but his word shall accomplish everything that he said. Amen. I know that when I cast my bread upon the water, it's going to come back. Amen. I know it's going to come back. I know there are some principles, and I know there are some spiritual laws, all because God has said it. And whether I understand it or not, whether I even feel it or not, faith is not based on a feeling. Faith is based on the fact of what God said. Your feeler may be broken. Your feeler may say something different, but you got to shut off your feeler and ignore your feeler, which is your flesh, which is your mind, which is your emotions. And you got to say, I'm going to be led by the spirit man. I'm going to be led by the inner man, through and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I will not leave you ignorant of Satan's devices. I will not have you to be ignorant of his devices. So God will give you wisdom, insight, direction, and counsel. People say, man, how did you figure that out? Oh, you're so smart. No, I mean, I thank God, you know, but I give him the glory. Because if just being smart was enough all by itself, what's going on with the world? We got some brilliant people on planet Earth. But we can't fix some of the basic problems. Brilliant minds. Thank God for them. They're made in the image of God. But they haven't surrendered it to Christ. If that was enough, we could fix our own problems. If my intelligence was enough, I wouldn't need Christ. But I need him. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Others may say, you're weak and you need this crutch. I'll say, give me my crutches. Others say, you're out of your mind. I'll say, that's okay, because I want the mind of Christ. I want to lose my mind and gain the mind of Christ. It's my mind that got me in this problem in the first place. It's your mind that got you in some of the situations you're in the first place. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Let this mind that was in Christ be also in us. Amen? So what we're simply saying is, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I get out of the way. I trust you. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to do this, and maybe I'm going to finish this on maybe a part two. I was going to speak about where it all begins, even from a natural child, even to a spiritual child going into adulthood, the importance of training our children, the importance of disciplining our children. And I'll just give you a teaser, and I'm not going to finish this. Y'all have heard about the story about the football player striking his wife. Y'all, anybody seen that video? Lift your hand. Seen the video? Okay. It was pretty bad. Not acceptable. No excuse for it. And in no way do I can condone it, not 100% and 1,000%. But I have to say this. If we're going to have an honest discussion, and as Christians, now the world, the CNN, Fox, they already have their pundits. They already have their views and philosophies and psychologists and so forth. But from the standpoint of believers, we have to look at it through the eyes of Christians. And I look at that, and again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not condoning it 100%. But you look at that situation, and it's just a microcosm of something greater. Not even just in the NFL, but through the land. And if I look at that individual, his name was Rice, amen, Ray Rice, amen. Here's the situation, I'm not defending him, but let's have an honest conversation. Many of these guys, they grew up in abusive situations. Many of them grew up dirt poor, dysfunctional families. I'm not excusing what he did. Don't misunderstand me. They saw their fathers beating their mothers, if the fathers were even there. They saw gang violence. They were a part of a culture that some people don't even understand. These guys, they're recruited because of their talent. They had problems back then, but they covered it up because they had a system that wanted to use their talent. They were having, many of these guys, troubles from junior high school, but they covered it up because we want his running back skills, his wide receiver skills. So the culture says, you know what, let's kind of push this. So then we give them all of this money. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm a grown man, and I don't have any reason. You know, unless you've been given some training, and unless you've been given some counsel, and unless you surround yourself with some wise people, even you and me may go afoul. Not knowing how to deal with the money. Some of these guys, wrongfully, they treat them like gods. They can't do any. So all of this is being pumped into them. And these are young guys. So are we so surprised that we see some of the things that we do, that they do? Not excusing it. But I'm saying if we're going to have an honest conversation about it, amen, let's deal with it from the root. Amen? And this is why even the church, even now, we have to deal with proper training, teaching our children, correcting them, instilling values, letting them know, no, it's not cute that you put the stick of gum in your pocket when we walked out the store. There's nothing cute about that. But we say, oh, they're just so cute. But that same one that's cute right now, if you don't change the behavior, it's going to be strong-arming somebody. Because they're just going to think it's okay. We have an obligation. And even what I'm saying may be controversial, and I think you guys are okay with it, but even what I'm saying here, people would have a problem with what I'm saying. But the truth of the matter is, amen, before we talk about what's going on and how other people are treating us, and those are legitimate situations, first of all, let's deal with what's going on in our house. Let's deal with going on in my house. Let's deal with going on in the dysfunction in my house. Let's fix the problems in my community. Amen? These are the real conversations, Ed and I got to sit down because I don't want to get political here. This is what frustrates me with some of our leaders who purport themselves to be our leaders, black leaders. Where are you? When there's a popular case, I hear from you. But who is going to go? Where are the marches in our community? Crime. I'm just dealing with inner black, inner city. Past July 4th in Chicago, 88 people died, shot. Young people, drive-bys, young girls, young boys murdered on a playground. Where are the marches? Where are the rallies? Let's deal with what's going on in the house, in our house, first. Maybe it has to start in the church. Amen. I don't need Jesse Jackson to start this. You and I can begin it in our community, in our neighborhood, on our block. I don't need them to come in with the cameras. We can do this and take back. This is what we're called. There are a lot of challenges. But we have to confront them, be real with the issues, and say, what can we do to change and save this? Because we're losing another generation. The jails are full, disproportionately, with African-American young men, Latino young men, compared to the quotas of the numbers of the population. Why is that? We've got to deal with that. Don't put it under the carpet. Don't blame somebody. Listen, it starts here with me. It starts here with you. We got to deal with that. I'm going to continue this next week. God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, everyone standing.